Wow, it's so good to see you. Maybe we can turn the lights up now. Thanks, Ron. So I can actually, there, now I can see you. There you are. Great to see you here today. I'm so happy that you've come out. This is our service today that we're calling Kids Who Shine. The series for this whole month is Sons and Daughters. And I had already planned my sermon title before I knew to put this together. God is so cool that way. He works things out. And so, well, we thought it would be great today to take this service and talk about what some of our youth did over the summer in their missions trips. So you get to hear from them today, and I think you're going to be blessed by their testimonies. So I'd like to invite our youth pastor, Joshua Walker, to come up now and start everything off.
I'm excited to share and to hear the testimonies this morning of the many who went out. And I just want to touch base on a couple things this morning before we let them come up and share. And God was just stirring a couple things in my heart. And, you know, the word revolution, it talks about being extreme or complete change in the way people live. And our young people went out on these missions trips sharing love, hoping that revolution would start in these people, reaching out as God's hands and feet as they walked and shared God's love. And I was thinking about, you know, in Matthew 28:19, it talks about going out and being disciples and reaching them no matter where they are. It's one of the last commandments that Jesus had, is to go out and to make disciples wherever you go. And then what's awesome is this ties in right with Pastor was talking about this morning, John 13:35. Let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way that I loved you. And you're love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. And when we go on missions trips, it's really just God's hands and feet. And we're reaching out with his love. And you know what's awesome is that even if we don't get to go, we can be a part of that. And I just want to take a minute. I want to say, you know what? It's awesome to be a part of a church that's a sending church that supports their youth wherever they're going. See, being a part of a sender is really not just coming alongside them, but praying for them on their trip, giving them financial support. If they need something while they're gone, being there for them, being a family, even though they may not be here. And I can tell you from experience being on the field, having those prayers, you feel them. Even when you're across seas, even anywhere you're at, that prayer support is so big. Because you feel that, you know what, I have the love and support of so many behind me. No matter what happens, I know that I've got their love and support. So I just want to thank you. Give yourselves a hand for being such a supportive church for the youth, for being a mission sender. I just want to thank a couple people real quick for their fundraising and everything they did for us. Real quick, I just want to thank Janet. I don't even think she's in here. Janet and Matt, she's in the nursery. I'll definitely thank her. Roger, thank you for partnering with us and giving us an opportunity. I appreciate that. And last but not least, I really have to give this person big props. She came along. She organized. She did a lot of the fundraising. Jen DeSantis. We really appreciate you. Jen, can you come up here for a second? We really wanted to say thank you for everything you did and all the stuff that happened. I know it's not always easy planning and fundraising and leading, so I really appreciate everything you did. Lisa also has a card for you. All right. All the leaders who went, I want to thank them. I want to thank Karen and Chris and Nick. I want to thank you guys personally. I couldn't go this time because of work obligations, but I was a part of the sending team. I was praying for you guys. I was supporting you. I was watching on Facebook. I was definitely a part of what was going on, and I was hoping that God would do awesome things, and I can't wait to hear what God did. And the way we're going to kick this off, we're going to go ahead and ask you to sit down. I'm going to call you back in just a couple minutes. But the first one we're going to hear about is actually, Tia actually went to Brazil before the team went to Week of Hope. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call up Tia first. If she can come up and share. Come on up. I know she's got an awesome testimony. I heard just a little bit about it, so I'm excited to hear the rest of it.
You heard the really scatterbrained version. I'm sorry. Hi, guys. For those of you who don't know, my name is Tia Workman. I've been here for a while. Ooh. Let's see. Well, I've gone on 3 international missions trips so far with an organization called Global Expeditions. They send teenagers and young adults out of the country or to mission trips within the country. I've been to South Africa, India, and this year I went to Brazil. And they are all completely amazing, and they're entirely different trips from each other. You know, you'd think going out of the country and going to the poor areas and talking to people would be the same in a lot of different parts of the world, but in some ways it is, and in a lot of other ways it's really super different. In South Africa, we mostly worked and helped at an established VBS in the squatter camps, and we went hut to hut talking to people, and that was really cool. It was the first time that I witnessed a miracle. In India, we spent a lot of time in the villages, hanging out, talking to people. We did a drama for ministry, and then in Brazil, we also did a drama, but it was a completely different experience. We spent a lot of time in the churches, just pouring into them and talking to them, and it was really more, it wasn't planned this way, but it ended up being more of, you know, giving the church in Brazil a new energy and just encouraging them and, you know, helping them to keep going, and also kind of showing that we're not special. We had a group of 8 teenagers doing ministry, and, you know, when you see 8 teenagers who aren't anything special or anything in particular, it, you know, definitely shows you that anybody can do it. I have notes, but I'm kind of scatterbrained, sorry. Okay, so, yeah, and it showed me, like, how... Hi. Sorry. It showed me just how lost and how broken and how tired we can get within the church, which, you know, I think in a lot of times it's easy to lose hope and it's easy to forget what we're doing or why we're here because we spend so much time focusing on how to better ourselves, even just as Christians or, you know, words. As Christians or as people, we spend a lot of time working on who we are and how we feel about things. And I think sometimes we forget that we also have to think about how we're affecting the community and, you know, if we're going out. And there's so many people, like, so close to where we are that just, you know, haven't heard it in the right way. Or I found that focusing my energy on other people was really good and, like, really renewing in my spirit to just pour out instead of focusing on myself, even if it was for good reasons. And now it's backwards. We had a pastor there who was awesome. He didn't speak English. His name was Pastor Junior, and he is one of the sweetest men I've ever met. He and his family were so kind to us, and they were put in very difficult situations on our behalf. They had been missionaries in Chile, I think. Missionaries in Chile for a long time, and they'd worked with Global Expeditions for years, and then they moved back to Brazil. And the church in Brazil is not very supportive of missions work and missionaries, and they don't think that that's as important. And so within our first week there, Pastor Junior actually
got fired from his job at the church that we were with for focusing too much on missions work and not enough on the rich people in Brazil, that trying to bring them in and bring in their money. And they were going through a really difficult time. We were able to be there and just support them and provide some stability for a few weeks while they figure out what's going on. And they became really close to us. We had a really tiny team. There was, I think, 11 of us total, including the adults. So it was just amazing for me to see what such a small group of people can do. It was just a really different and a really special experience. It was the first time that God spoke through me personally, which is super cool. You know, this is the first time that I personally have been instrumental in leading someone to Christ, which I recommend that. It's really fun. It's really fun. So, yeah. We have a video that Pastor Junior made for us, and he tells us about, you know, he tells you guys, actually, about the impact that we had afterwards. We had 57 people were saved, and 30-some were rededicated, which was just awesome.
Amen. Give Tia a big hand, because it is not easy to travel on your own. And it sounds like you have a 10-year contract for your next 10 missions trips to go to Brazil, so you're covered there. Absolutely. She's calling out people to come with her, so that way she's not alone next time. That's awesome. All right, so at this time, I want to call up our team leader of the trip. She organized everything. If you guys could give a big hand for Jen. She was amazing, taking care of everything, fundraising, keeping everybody in line. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was absolutely my pleasure to do this with the kids, because my first mission trip was last year. We went on Week of Hope to Cincinnati, and that experience changed me so much. I could not imagine these kids not going on Week of Hope again. I knew it was going to be life-changing for them, and it's amazing just as an adult to see God work through them and to see them grow so much. So there was no way I wasn't going to let it happen, so there really was no choice. So I'm going to call the youth group up here. If you guys would come on up, and Nick and Karen. Chris isn't here. So this is the majority of our kids who went. There's two of them, Max and Ethan, aren't here, but they got to come as well. And I'm going to have them share their stories before I give you my take on what happened. But just so you guys know, we did go to Indianapolis this year. It was a 5-hour car trip, and we went there, and we were able to, we stayed in a church that's kind of similar to this church, I guess. You know, there's different rooms and things like that. We stayed overnight in the church, had nice cold showers, though the adults did get indoor showers this time. But we had that. We had worship both in the morning and in the evening with all of the different groups that were there, and then we had devotions both at our work sites, where we could invite other people that were at our work sites to join us. And then we also had our own group devotions in the evening time, where I know our group just got really close and we were able to know each other just that much better. And it was amazing to see us all get moved closer to God and do his work. So I'm going to give it to the kids first and then come back to you, Nick.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, hey, I'm Colin. What my group pretty much did, so pretty much my group went to the first day, because we had two different jobs because we were one of the last groups that were put together. And anyways, we went to an elder lady's house named Del Sue. Her name was Del Sue, so it's a very fun name to say, I know. My group had fun with it, but anyways, we pretty much painted around the house things that needed to be painted. I painted a kind of shell barn kind of type thing. And so I pretty much had to scrape off the paint, and a couple of my other crewmates were also painting. So we were all messy after the day there. But anyways, it was just fun to see how happy and energetic she was, because she wasn't one of those ones that just sits in the house. She was out and about everywhere, just telling us good job, and it was fun. And we actually got a little spoiled the first day with lunch. Other groups were jealous when we got back. But anyways, the second, third, and fourth day, we got moved to a third phase. It's pretty much a woman's shelter for 18 and older that have financial, economic, and all that kind of problems. So we got assigned with, like, two other groups, I think. And we were doing a kind of, like, thrift store kind of place, garage sale kind of thing, you could say. But anyways, we had a lot of huge totals. I think our top total might have been like 300 at one point, because we had everybody working. We had some people in the pantry storing food for those who would come and grab food and go. And it was just a great time, great experience, and just God shined his light through everything that I did, and it was just amazing.
I've had to write this down because I'm disorganized. My name's Amy. I'm just going to give a quick recap of what Week of Hope is and what a typical day would look like. So Week of Hope is basically a bunch of youth groups, and they get everybody from all of the youth groups, and they split all those people off into, like, different crews of about six people. A typical day would be we wake up, and then one of the youth groups makes breakfast, and the other youth group, like every youth group, makes certain meals on certain days. And after breakfast is morning program, and then we head off to our work sites, and then we come back and it's free time, and then we have evening program, and then dinner, and then free time. So at Week of Hope, me, my group, and Melanie's group, and Max's group, he's not here, we went to a Midwest food bank. And the difference between a food bank and a food pantry is that a food bank prepares the food, they store the food, they ration the food, they distribute it to all the food pantries, and the food pantries hand out the food. So the food that me and Melanie and Max were packaging at our food bank was actually handed out by Ethan at his food pantry. I lost where I was. So the food bank we worked at was called Midwest Food Bank. So basically we did whatever we were needed to do. So we swept floors, we sorted diapers for families with children, we packaged lots of cookies. We packaged probably 35 4x4x4 boxes of cookies. We unloaded a couple of semi-trucks, which were full every inch with boxes of chips. So we had people inside the truck putting the cookies, the chips on the conveyor belt, and people stacking them onto the pallets and shrink wrapping them and then putting them onto the shelves with the pallet movers. And the cool thing about working at this food bank is that it's run almost entirely out of volunteer work. So this huge warehouse only has 5 actual employees. So our help was really appreciated, definitely needed. We unloaded a semi-truck in a couple of hours, but without our help, it would have taken one employee probably an entire day's work. So that was really awesome to know that we were such a great help to people. And throughout the week, I feel like we all got better at working as a team. And every day when we came back to the church after our work sites, it was a great sense of fulfillment to be able to say, I was able to be a blessing today. And so, yeah, all in all, we had tons of fun. We met lots of new people. We helped lots of people, and it was just a great week, and I can't wait to go back next year.
Hi, for those of you who don't know, I'm Gabby Bowser, and I went on Week of Hope, and our crew got sent to a place called Carmel Health and Living, and it was kind of like a nursing home, and they had like a rehab center and stuff, and Nick's crew was there too. That was fun. So the first day they sent us off, you know, to do what they call one-on-one. So you go to people's rooms and you take like a Bible and like coloring stuff and you ask if they, you know, if they would like a visit. And you sit with them, and you can read, or you can color with them, or sometimes they just like to rip up the paper. And you get to clean it up and throw it away and then walk out. So the first day we went, and they split us up with 3 teenagers and 1 leader. And the second day when they sent us out, they sent us off just in groups of 3. So I was with this guy named Christian and a girl named Christine, and we went to this one lady's room. And we walk in, and we're like, hi, you know, would you like us to visit? She's like, yeah, just read me the Bible. So we're reading, and out of nowhere, she just, like, sits up and starts, like, quoting Revelation, and we were like, yep. And then, so we had to leave, but there was a couple people, you know, we finished reading, and we were like, all right, we have to go, but we'll be back tomorrow. And there was one guy we met, and Nick's group met. It's actually kind of famous with all the crews that were there, because he was so talkative. His wife had been in there for 10 years, and he was there every day from 9 to 4 and, like, came every morning and left every night. And so we went and saw him every day. We even made him a cupcake. And, he was – we have a picture of him, too. But that was inspiring because he had met her when they were – you know, he was in college, and he was in the Navy, and she was a high school student, and he's like, well, looking back on it now, I shouldn't have done that. But they got married, and he truly loved her. And, well, we got to – there's a couple of residents who really opened up to us by the end of the week and let us pray for them and read them the Bible. And there was one lady who sang Jesus Loves Me. And, and I think our crew got really close because the first day nobody really talked to each other. And by the end of the week, we were having nicknames and telling stupid stories. So – yeah, that was my week.
Hi, I'm Rachel, and I also wrote mine down. So during the week, I went to a place called Third Phase, just like Colin. We were doing the garage sale, but the first day when he was working at the old lady's house, I was doing the stacking and unstacking of the food pantry bit. So there were so many different foods, and I know this sounds irrelevant, and I'm kind of going in weird ways, but they had like 200 cans of green beans and an entire stack of egg substitute. But the next day when we came back, all of it gone. There were that many people they helped serve. And, yeah. So, I'm really glad that we could help serve all those homeless people. And I feel like I had a stronger bond with God by the end.
I'm Andrea. For Week of Hope, I went to Gleaner's Food Bank, where Jen went. Also, for the first day, we were unpacking bread into boxes. And, like, before lunch, we got through most of the bread. Then after lunch, we finished it. Then we went on our break and came back, and there was more bread. Yeah. And by the end of it, we finished 472 boxes of bread. And, like, everyone there was like, I can't stand bread anymore. And then for dinner, we had rolls. For the rest of the week, we were checking the food to make sure that it wasn't expired and then putting in and then, like, sorting it. And then the one day, we went to the food pantry, which is where families come and get food for the week. And based on how many people they have, they get so many amount of items. And then the helpers there would help carry the items out to their car. And then, well, these two girls from my group, they helped this old lady, and she said that she would give them each a dollar if she had one. And so, like, that was just amazing that she would give money for their help. And then that's it.
I don't want to stand on the stage. So I'm Melanie, if you don't know me. I also went to Week of Hope. I was at Midwest Food Bank with Amy and Max. And we had pretty big crew there. We had 3 groups of us. So there's a lot of people helping. Amy had said how they helped all the food pantries. This place was huge. There's food everywhere, up to the ceiling. It's a giant warehouse. It was huge. And it's all volunteer run. And on my first day, I helped put up all the pantries they help on the wall. And it was a whole wall of, like, probably over 100 pantries, this one food bank. And if you've never been to Indianapolis, there are so many hungry people there. If you drive down the street, they're on the tree lawns. If you go in McDonald's, they're sitting inside. They're at Walmart. Everywhere you go, there's someone who's hungry. So that really hit me pretty hard. I didn't want to eat when I came home. There's so many people. On our way home, there was a guy on the side of the road, and he was hungry. So we stopped to give him some of our food for our snacks on the way home. And all I had was an open bag of Cheez-Its. And I gave him my bag of Cheez-Its, and he, as we pulled away, like fell on the ground and just started shoving them in his face. And a half-eaten bag of Cheez-Its. So that really impacted me. I liked helping everyone. Our crews did an awesome job. They were so much fun. I was so happy I had this fun, amazing group to spend my week with. Other than that, all of these kids are so amazing. They give, and they're passionate, and they're loving, and they're strong. And I love all you guys.
Hey, everyone. Hello. I'm Karen, and I got to be staff. See? It's my special red T-shirt. I've gone on Week of Hope trips with these guys for the last 3 years, and it's always been an incredible experience. And you don't have to be a youth leader or anything. You can just be a parent or an adult volunteer. You can go and volunteer at any of their... I forget how many locations there are, but there's a lot of locations all across the states. And for 7 weeks, over the summer, about 100 kids go to every camp every week for 7 weeks. So there's a lot of people being mobilized and doing this. And these camps, this particular camp is called Week of Hope, and it focuses on community service. And that's why they did all these things. There's another thing called Work Camps, and that's focusing on construction, so it would be building. So if you're a builder or you know something about that, you can teach a kid how to use a power tool. If you're brave, you can go out and volunteer to do that too. Tia's Global, she went with Global Expeditions. They've been going for 27 years, and they have a 100% return rate. That means everybody comes back alive. This is really good. They're actually the only missions organization that has that, can say that. So, Tia wasn't their first casualty. That was kind of nice. Global Expeditions over the 27 years has sent out 72,000 student missionaries, and they say there's around about 1 million souls who've been saved through GE. The kids have already told you what a daily routine was like. They diminished the effect of the cold showers. The cold showers are fun because you get to come home from working really hard all day, and then you stand under a hose. That's basically the showers. And some of us had to be pushed into the showers, and that was interesting. Chris and I did the same job this year, just the same job that Dwayne and I did last year, and that's to drive around every work site and visit everybody and see how they're all doing and, check up on them and so on and take pictures. So later on, you're going to see some pictures that we took on the trip. And I'm just going to tell you a couple of places that these guys didn't go to. One was a teacher's pantry. And places like Office Max and Target and Staples and so on, when they have excess stuff, they send it to the teacher's pantry, and teachers can go in and take 5 of something for their classrooms. So it was kind of cool. It's the first time I've seen a teacher's pantry. The Hoosiers Veterans Assistance Foundation was amazing to me. They had a crew who went out and did a lot of work for that foundation. In Indianapolis, they had a VA hospital or facility, and they closed it down. And the people who were using that facility, they were told that there would be 600 houses given to them, and only 45 actually materialized. And so all the rest of these veterans are on the streets. A lot of them are homeless and so on. And so the HVAF works to get people sorted out. You heard about the nursing home and the food banks and the food pantries. And some of the jobs are interesting because you get to have a lot of face-to-face time with people, and some of them you don't. And so Melanie and Amy and Max were in this food bank, which was actually previously a helicopter, a place where they make helicopters. It's enormous. And the owners, or the people who ran this facility, when they were looking for somewhere to have this food bank, they went to this helicopter place, and the owner said to them, well, what do you want it for? And they said, we want to make a food bank. And he said, well, then you can have it for a penny. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. And they service a whole lot of stuff. And I think for these guys, you know, sometimes, because they spent the whole week, you guys probably know the smell of those cookies. Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was amazing to see them. And you'll see pictures, but it can feel like you're not doing a whole lot because you're just bagging cookies. That's all you're doing, putting cookies in a bag and putting cookies in a bag and putting cookies in a bag from about 10 till 3 every day. You know, I know some of our jobs feel like that, but for these guys, it was a whole new thing. And it doesn't feel like anything, but Chris and I went to see them, and then when we went to Ethan's workplace on the Thursday, we saw their cookies. And it was so cool to be able to say to them, hey, we saw your cookies at this food bank. It was really fun. And Ethan's place, he was at a food pantry that was held in a church. And every Thursday, they have from 1:30 till 4:30, they open it up to people to come in and get food. And they go around. And the pastor there, he said they serve about 400 families in that three-hour space. And they gave out a ton of food. But when Ethan got there on the Thursday morning, they found out that people had been lined up since 6 a.m. And there, you'll see pictures. We were not really able to take photos of the people that we were helping. It was not legal or kind. But you'll see these guys doing it, and it was really amazing. And I think perhaps the guy that Melanie was talking about, it was at the very end of our trip, and it really marked something for us. This is the sign. He was holding a sign just like this. He looked like any high school kid. Well, he's probably like, 19, 20, but he just looked like a regular kid that you would see down the street, and he was holding this sign there. And the three of our cars, we were caravanning, and we just grabbed whatever food there was loose in the car, including the half bag of Cheez-Its. And they were good Cheez-Its. Melanie had to sacrifice those. But we rolled down the window, and he was shocked. Wouldn't you say? His look on his face, he was shocked that someone gave him a few bottles of water, and some miscellaneous candy, and a half-open bag of Cheez-Its. And what it reminded me, and this is probably what I got out of this trip, and probably what these guys, you're hearing from these guys right now, is that you don't have to be a gourmet chef to feed someone who's hungry. You know, you don't have to, you just take the little bit that you have. None of us have, like Tia said, none of us are anything super special. But we took the little bit that we had, and you feed people. And there are hungry people out there, spiritually hungry and spiritually stranded. And they may not look like your neighbor next door. But it was a real honor for me to serve with these guys and serve these guys, and a privilege to do this. The other thing that I got out of this trip was that every day, Chris and I were in charge of feeding 100 people breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So if you need a caterer, ask Chris.
I forgot something. The biggest thing. So when we were leaving at the end of the week, they asked us what were our concerns going home. And I can't believe I forgot this. My concern was I had just bought a car, and I had a lot of bills, and I took the week off work, so my concern was money. And I got home, I think it was like 2 or 3 days after, and my mom called me, and my car insurance had refunded me $180. So I was set for the month and a little bit of the next. Can I tell Ethan? Okay. Can I tell Ethan? Okay, and then I'll tell Ethan's too. When you're at Week of Hope, there's a big wall of all these envelopes, and you can write care cards to the people there. And they're just little notes inspiring, you did a good job this week, that kind of stuff. And when we got in the car and we were opening our care cards, Ethan found a check for $150. Someone had given him a check for $150, and his concern was also money because his tires had just gone out. And my mom's brakes were acting up while we were there, and like a lot, they were making this crashing, booming, scary noise. And my mom didn't have any money to fix them, and we were going to be stuck in Indianapolis, probably holding one of those signs. And she went to get her car fixed, and they didn't charge her and said, use the money for missions.
I forgot something, too. So with the care cards, one of the things that you learn with Week of Hope is you think, you know, you go there and everybody else is just like you and they just want to come and, yeah, we're going to have a week of vacation. But you really don't know what people are going through. And I know when we got in the car, there was one kid especially. He seemed a little odd all week. But, you know, we were friendly and you can't really judge people by what they look like or how they act because some people are brought up different than you. And so I pull out this, like, two-page care card. And he wrote me about how he didn't know anybody in his youth group. And his mom was just like, you should go. And he decided to come and didn't know anybody. And I was the first one to say hello. And I was like the only one to talk to him all week. And he was so thankful. And he said that I had shown him, you know, God's love through just talking to him. So that was big, too. So.
I was kind of nervous about following Karen. Thanks, guys. Oh my gosh, where do I begin? So I told you guys a little bit about the miraculous provision that I got a few weeks ago, okay? I left some stuff out because I wanted to save it for today. I was chaperoning a youth group outing, playing with the kids a few weeks ago and busted up my knee and I missed some work. And I had all kinds of medical bills and so I was starting to sweat money and I was thinking I might not be able to make it to Week of Hope. I decided to go and just trust him to take care of things, and he did. And I told you about all that. But the coolest thing is that Thursday night, one of you guys mentioned Thursday night, we talked about what we were afraid of going back into the real world, you know. And mine was facing my boss and coworkers and paying the bills. And Thursday night, I was told by this individual who gave me this amazing gift, Thursday night was the night that the light bulb went on. Hey, I want to give Nick a bunch of money. The night that we prayed for each other for what we were afraid of going back, that was the night that God put this idea into this person's head. And the whole week was just amazing. I was with Gabby and her peoples, and we spent time with, I hate not being able to give the people's names because of privacy laws and stuff, but the guy that she mentioned was incredible. He served his country. He's been serving his wife faithfully, going to the hospital or to the nursing home every day for 10 years straight, 10 years, and just sitting there with her, doing nothing, watching TV, just hanging out. That was amazing. And we connected very, very personally, very intimately with a lot of the residents. So much, in fact, that on the last day, every room that we went to visit, I offered to pray. I said, hey, we're leaving. We're not going to be here tomorrow. I'd like to pray with you. And everyone agreed. Some of them had voiced that, you know, they don't want us to read the Bible to them for one reason or another. But everyone agreed to let us pray with them. And almost every one of them was brought to tears, and I was. And I don't know, I'm a sissy emotionally. All you guys know this. But the fact that it felt amazing to have that impact on those people, that they were brought to tears when we left. And it's not me. it's God and it's these kids and, you know, it's everyone. It was absolutely amazing. And the last night we were there, Karen prayed over all of us. God gave her words for everyone. And it was very, very touching. It was one of those nights, you know. We laughed, and then we cried, and then we laughed all together, and then we cried again, and then we laughed again. And anybody nearby probably thought we were all insane. but it was just an incredible week. This is my third one. The first two were awesome, and they keep getting better and better. I can't wait for next year. I can't envision anything more amazing than what has happened at this most recent week of hope. But it'll happen. They keep getting better and better. So thanks for letting me hang out with your kids, guys.
Okay, so I wasn't one of the red shirts. I was like, Nick, we're the volunteers that are actually...
No, you weren't.
I was the adult. Nick was another child. And we were in charge of the different groups that went out there. So I was at Gleaner's Food Bank with Andrea. Because we had, I think there were three groups that were there, two of which had five, and one of group had six people at it. So, like she said, we did a lot of bread. We did a lot of looking for expiration dates and putting them in different baskets and bins. I did a lot of opening containers, looking for leaking bottles of water and putting them back. One of the things that impacted me the most going to this food bank was that while I was there, I got to talk with one of the workers really well. I don't know if I can say his name or not. Can I? Okay. So I got to spend a lot of time working with Carrie, who had a long story, and I got to hear his story and pray with him over his family and over his situation. And he was able to tell me that... out of all the people that were there, there aren't very many of them that work there, but it is a huge, huge warehouse, as you guys will see in the pictures. And in this warehouse, there were only a few people who actually got paid to work there, but there were a couple people there that he was able to point out to me that were homeless or who lived at a men's shelter, that we were able to see them working and working hard, and you just know they're struggling, and you know that they've got a lot of things going on, but... they're there working and doing their best and working hard not only to help themselves but to help other people as well. And that right there was a blessing to see that. And one of my stories also is that every night we got to do God sightings where we would talk about where we saw God shining through. And it's kind of silly, but there was a younger girl that was there who was, I think she was probably around 10. She was there with another youth group. Her name was Ireland. And I think she was just kind of having a hard time because, you know, she's a lot younger than the other kids that were there. So she's got this box of Sharpie markers, and she wants to draw on people. And I'm like, you know what? I see her sitting there, and no one's going up to her. I was like, just come here and just, you know, I was like, here, draw my hand. And she goes, well, what do you want me to draw? And she was just like wide-eyed because, like, someone actually said yes. And I was like, whatever you want to draw, you know. And so she decided to draw flowers. Well, my entire hand down my arm was covered with flowers and leaves in Sharpie permanent marker. But she liked it, and she thought it was cute. And I was like, okay. And I think I gave her a dollar for it because I happened to have a dollar in my pocket. I was like, here you go. And she's like, you don't have to give me money. And I was like, I know, but I thought it was really great. And, I mean, she's 10. And I was like, here, I have a dollar. There you go. Well, that evening, when they called up people to do their God sightings, she went up there, and she decided to tell the entire group that I was her God sighting, that I let her draw on my hand, and I gave her a dollar for it, and I was just kind of blown away that I could be a God sighting, because I'm always looking for it in everyone else, and I don't always look and see it in me. So that was really cool to me, and kind of gave me a new perspective on it, just to realize that I could be a God sighting for someone else. Do I have anything else? Oh, just so you guys can have a little idea, because in the slideshow that we're going to show you, one of the things we got to do as a group with all of us together was to serve the other groups that were there by making dinner one night and also by cleaning and doing hospitality tasks. Well, they were having a contest, whoever can get the most creative in whatever they were serving for the night, and we were serving pasta. So we decided lasagna's pasta. Okay, we were serving lasagna with rolls. So there's your bread. But we were doing that, and we decided, okay, how can we make this awesome? How can we make this really cool? So we found some Italian music to play, and someone came up with a great idea to make mustaches. So you will see some pictures up there that we all have little drawn on. We drew we made over 100 mustaches on paper, cut them out, and then gave them out to all the youth and all the adults that were there during our dinner service. So that'll explain the mustaches on the pictures up there. But I just want to thank you guys all for, you know, being a part of this and for helping us go. We couldn't have done it without you guys. There's no way that we can all afford to go. And so it's all of you guys who make that happen. It's all of you guys who make it possible and who reach out and touch their lives, even by not being there, but by enabling us to go. You guys make a huge difference on people in Indianapolis, people in Cincinnati, people in Brazil, people all over, and it's all because of you guys. So thank you guys very much. You have something else?
I have another God sighting. And yes, Tia, it never ends. Okay, so the first day we were working there, some of the guys in my group were opening a garage so they could help get the food into the pantry. And for some reason, this big knife was sitting up in the rafters. And when they opened the garage, it fell and landed, like, really close to one of our guys. But nobody got hurt. And so that is a really great God sighting. Yeah. Anyone else?
We're all done. Good job. We're done. The pictures, the slides. Oh,
yeah. I'll add one thing, and then I just want to pray over the kids. Ethan told me that in a 20-mile radius of where he worked, the homeless rate, get ready to blow your mind. This is not a third world country, okay? This is Indianapolis. The homeless rate was 48%. We have needs all around us. We don't even have to drive to Indianapolis to see needs. So look for opportunities to be a blessing. I think that's one of the things they came back with. My kids have talked about it. So look for an opportunity to be a blessing. And kids, maybe even instead of praying over you, I call you kids because I call my boys kids, even though they're this big, you know. I just pray a blessing over you, that God's light will shine in you and through you to others in ever-increasing measure the older you get. That's my prayer for you, that God's light will shine in and through you, even the ones that didn't get to go this year, that God's light will shine in you and through you to others in ever-increasing measures all through the rest of your life. That's what I pray for you. Amen. Okay, Tim, come on up and close us out.